I'm just mad about saffron. Saffron's mad about me. I'm just mad about saffron. She's just mad about me. They call me mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow. About 14, 14's mad about me. I'm just mad about 14. She's just mad about me. They call me mellow yellow. They call me mellow yellow. Quite rightly, they call me mellow yellow. Velocity nil. Wanna have forever to fly. If you watch cup power fill, they call me mellow yellow. Quite rightly, they call me mellow yellow. Quite rightly, they call me mellow yellow. Sudden grace. Electrical banana is bound to be the very next phase. They call it mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow.
This is Harrison, and you are listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Just before me, you were hearing Lawn Chair Crisis from Lars. Great show. Happy to have him right before me. Hope everybody's having a great morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are listening from. Today, I have a very special guest on the show, my good friend Harper. Harper, say hi.
Hi, everyone.
So today, we're going to do the usual type of deal where mix of my music and her music with some discussion spliced in between. Hope everybody enjoys. I'm going for a little bit of a slower feel today. I don't know. We're kind of in this weird limbo up here between winter and fall, and I'm kind of in a strange mood as a result, so we're going to have a little bit more slow kind of acoustic music today. That was Mellow Yellow by Donovan, and up next we have Blowing in the Wind by Bob Dylan. Enjoy.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? isn't how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
All right, so that was Blown in the Wind by Bob Dylan, another classic. So I'm here with Harper. And Harper, so tell me about your life at Tufts. I think, like, I don't know, in particular, I find it interesting because you live in Crafts House.
I do live in Crafts House, and it is awesome. I love being part of that community. My life at Tufts is pretty crazy. I'm in the dual degree, and I'm majoring in film and media studies, so I'm basically doing a lot of art and watching a lot of movies all the time, but I love it. And definitely an improvement from the COVID era, even though we're still kind of in it.
sounds like a pretty good deal with the movies and art.
Yes, it is. Definitely much better than poli sci, which is what I thought I wanted to do.
It's a pretty big shift.
Yes, it is. I honestly probably just rushed into poli sci without thinking and being like, ooh, Washington, jobs. But the more poli sci I learned about and the more I spoke about working in Washington with people, I decided, you know what, maybe this isn't for me. I think it's not really my energy.
I think it's probably good that you figured that out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I've always loved watching films and analyzing films, so I'm really glad I get to do that now.
Yeah, and the dual degree program here is really cool to me, and I kind of wish I had pursued something on that end, but
yeah, I totally recommend taking SMFA classes. Like, usually they fill up pretty quick, but if you can get into one, like, anybody who wants to take one should, because they're awesome, like, super chill, and everyone in the school is so nice, like, the most supportive community in the whole world, I think.
All right, so we actually have one of Harper's songs up next. We have Running Up That Hill, Deal With God by Kate Bush.
Yes.
Do you have anything to say about Kate Bush before we get into this?
I love Kate Bush. She's, like, one of my favorite British people. She's awesome, and she is a revolutionary pop icon, and her music is so good. So
you know,
let's listen to this banger.
Can't disagree with a single thing said. All right, this is Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush. Enjoy.
Do you wanna feel?
All right, so that was some Kate Bush. Great song from a great album.
Yeah, what a great artist. Love her.
Yeah, she's awesome. I think we were talking during the break about our parents having influences on our music tastes.
Yeah, so I grew up listening to a ton of like 80s music. My dad used to make these mixtapes that he would play in the car, so I just have like a soft spot in my heart for 80s music, and so I even find myself like now leaning towards lots of music with like 80s sounding noises, even if it's modern artists. Like, I love it.
So I was gonna say then the Kate Bush definitely tracks.
Yeah, it definitely does. Like, every artist I've been listening to recently, and especially last year, like, I always hear it and I'm like, whoa, this sounds so 80s or so 70s, and that is like a big hook for me.
I've always loved synths, but I think recently like synth heavy music has become like pretty heavy in my rotation.
Yeah, it's so fun. Like, yeah, it's awesome. Love synths.
All right, on the polar opposite of synths, we got a Velvet Underground song up next. I don't know if you remember, but when we were in the car going apple picking, I played a Velvet Underground song and launched into a rant about how everybody should love this band, because without this band, none of the people in that car would have their favorite artists.
I do remember that.
I'm going to continue that rant slightly now. The Velvet Underground is like as important to alternative music as I think a group can be. I don't really know if that's that controversial of a statement, but despite Lou Reed being kind of a generally sketchy person, to put it lightly, I don't really want to go into the details of that right now. Incredible band, insane influence overall, and if you listen to any alternative music, any indie music, Velvet Underground is there to thank.
Yep, they're pioneers.
They're pioneers for sure. And so off their first album, we have Femme Fatale. Hope you guys enjoy. Great song, right?
Yeah, so good. Such good vibes.
Yeah, entire album's awesome. I mean, I would play Heroin, but it's like 7 minutes long and a little intense for a radio broadcast, but you know.
Maybe next time.
Maybe one day. All right, so we got another one of your songs up next from an artist who has been slowly climbing up my ranks of people who I really enjoy, Eve Toomer.
I love Eve Toomer, and I honestly wish I listened to more of his complete discography, but the song that we're going to play introduced me to him and has stuck with me for quite a while now, and it was definitely one of my songs of the summer. I used to play it with my friends. We'd put it on aux and drive in the mountains, and it was insane. Like, Kerosene, best song.
Yeah, I've only heard Heaven Do a Tortured Mind from him, but I really, really like it. And shout out to Craig on Master of None Radio. He played this, I want to say, 2, maybe 3 weeks ago. And I kind of forgot about the song and then heard that. And that's been in kind of my rotation since then.
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to add more of his other songs to my list and all my music, because I think his voice is awesome and his production is super cool every time.
Yeah, and I mean, as a live performer too, some of the stuff that I've seen of him, like, just kind of performing, he looks like, I really want to see him in concert. He looks like a performer.
Yeah, I have some friends who saw him a couple months ago and they said it was amazing. Him and Echo 2K.
Oh, wow. And that's a combo.
Yeah, they said it was crazy, so I bet it was an awesome show.
All right, well, for everybody who doesn't know that's listening, here's Kerosene by Eve Toomer.
Your real life sugar, I can live in your dreams.
All right, that was Kerosene by Eve Tumor.
What a great song.
What a great song. Speaking of music, I feel like kind of what's been dominating conversation for the past day or so has been Spotify Wrapped.
Yay!
So for all three of you listening who aren't familiar with what Spotify Wrapped is, it is at the beginning of the end of each year, so sometime in December, Spotify releases a little cute video about your music listening habits over that past year, and they put out a playlist of like your 100 most listened to songs. Of course, all of this is inherently private, but everybody loves to share it.
Yep.
And I find it funny how everybody loves to share it, but then everybody is so quick to criticize their own Wrapped. And I'm just sitting here like, you listen to the music.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. Like, I look at my Spotify Wrapped, I'm like, this is very embarrassing for me. My number one genre is hyperpop, and my number one artist was Phoebe Bridgers. So,
all right, so
that says a lot about me, I think.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing for me. It said my number one genre was classic rock, and I see that, and I'm like, that's not really what I'm listening to too often, because by 4 of my 5 top artists were rappers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, that's interesting, and then I realized my number 2 is The Dead, and so then I'm assuming that that's just what
pushed it over.
I have no idea.
I think what brought me to hyperpop as my number one genre is because in the last few months I've been trying to explore a lot of different artists. So I don't have a lot of minutes for a single artist, but I have a lot in total over the whole genre.
Yeah, I think probably not this show. No, well, not this show, because I don't want to do it with a guest. But I think towards the end of my tenure in this time slot, I'm going to do a Wrapped show.
Oh, cool.
And play some stuff from that. Because my top song of the year was Me and Your Mama off the Childish Gambino album, which is... I saw that and I was like, all right, I'm very happy that this is how this all worked out. Because that is not something I can be embarrassed about.
Yeah, and as someone who doesn't listen to a lot of rap, like, I love some Childish Gambino, so I get it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my Wrapped playlist would probably be a lot of Phoebe Bridgers with some sprinkling of Alice Longyu Gao and early Panic at the Disco. Because they were on my top artists, but...
You have to specify early.
But I do not listen to the music after Ryan Ross left the band, okay? I'm just going to put it out there.
What album was that?
I think his last album, it wasn't Pretty Odd or Vice. It might have been Vices. Or I'm not 100% sure, but I really only listened to A Fever You Can't Sweat Out and Pretty Odd. Like, those are the two.
Understandable.
Those two, like, shaped my music taste for the last 2 years of high school and up until now. Like, I listened to those albums so much, like, on repeat.
I can't remember the last time I actually sat down and listened to a Panic at the Disco song. That wasn't, like, just playing in the background somewhere that I was.
I recommend Pretty Odd, because it's pretty, like, it's not super emo music, quote-unquote, like, their first album, which is kind of, like, Scene Kid Central. Pretty Odd is more of a eclectic rock route, and I think it's really good.
I don't know. Brendan Urie's voice is the deal breaker for me.
Yeah,
I know. It's pretty funny.
And that's one good thing about Pretty Odd is it contains a lot of Ryan's vocals. And, of course, like, he's awesome on guitar. But I don't think the band is as good without Ryan. And I think that Ryan made that band and Brendan screwed him over.
I saw some hilarious video that was like, I think it was like a Baby Keem song or something. It was like, if Brendan Urie sang this, and
no,
it was just
terrifying.
Perfect. It was so funny. Wow. All right. Well, we're about the halfway point of the show, so I'm going to play a PSA for everybody. Yeah, I don't know.
Public service announcement.
Public service announcement from Harrison and Harper. Enjoy.
Pop quiz. Which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana. So why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
All right, well, you heard it here first, and you actually heard it here last week, too. Alcohol is more dangerous than marijuana.
Yeah. Well, marijuana is, in my opinion, much more fun because it's more chill.
Yeah, we can't get into that, but we can say that it is less dangerous statistically.
Less dangerous statistically.
That's the PSA.
Scientifically. I'm speaking only on behalf of science here. No personal opinion.
Exactly. Just on the behalf of science.
Yes.
All right. So up next, I'm just like really going to tank the mood here and play some Elliott Smith.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. I was just really feeling the song. I think in terms of like artists that I think about who did not get a chance to, I guess, see their peak in artistry, I think Elliott Smith always comes to the top of my mind. Because, like, I mean, I can't even imagine what we would have gotten to see if he was still around.
Mm.
But, yeah, this is Say Yes from Either Or. I hope you enjoy.
I'm in love with the world through the eyes of a girl who's still around the morning after. We broke up a month ago, and I grew up. I didn't know I'd be around the morning after. Been wait and see a happy day, and then you pay and feel like shit the morning after. But now I feel changed around, and instead of falling down, I'm standing up the morning after. Situations get fucked up, turned around sooner or later. I could be another fool or an exception to the rule. You tell me the morning after. Cricket spin can't come to rest. I'm damaged bad at best. She'll decide what she wants. I'll probably be the last to know. No one says until it shows. See how it is. They want you or they don't. Say yes. I'm in love with the world through the eyes of a girl who's still around the morning after.
All right. Big shout out to Good Will Hunting for showing me who Elliott Smith is.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, there's a lot of movies that I feel like I could be critical of that are, like, super popular and kind of, like, universally beloved, but I can't hate Good Will Hunting. As much as I hate Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, I just can't hate Good Will Hunting.
Oh, yeah. See, I have not seen it. I'm a failure of a film student because I haven't seen a lot of, like, classics or, like, very popular movies. I don't know. Sometimes I just would rather watch a shitty, terrible movie than a good one.
I know that feeling. Dan and I have been doing, like, bad movie nights recently. Like, we've just been watching, like, absolute camp and, like, just, it's been a lot of fun. I don't know. Because I feel like, especially for people like us who are probably watching more, like, art house and serious stuff a lot of the time, it's fun to just watch something really stupid.
Yeah, I love that. And I am, like, a huge fan of animated movies and animated TV. So, usually in my free time, I'm going to watch, like, a silly TV show. Like, I love The Simpsons. Like, I love any, like, dumb TV show. Disenchantment, very similar.
Shout out Tufts alum Hank Azaria.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, have you ever seen the show? Oh, my gosh. Now I'm drawing a blank. You've seen BoJack Horseman, right?
Yeah, of course.
That one's so good.
Yeah.
Like, that one, I feel like, is such a perfect crossover between, like, animation. It has some silly humor at the beginning, and then it gets super deep, very interesting.
BoJack lures you in with, like, this stupid show about an alcoholic horse actor who can't get his job back, and then it makes you question your entire existence and every decision you've ever made.
And it's so hard, because as a viewer, you want to root for him, and you want to root for Diane, and then by the end, you just know that you can't, and it sucks. Like, it leaves you feeling...
The turning point for me was with Penny's daughter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I literally cannot... That's when Todd became my favorite character.
I love Todd.
Todd and Princess Care are literally only two people in this show I could, like, root for and
Todd
be okay with
awesome.
It.
Todd is awesome. Like, yeah, he sometimes fails to acknowledge his past and isn't in the moment, but whatever. I don't care.
I love Todd.
I don't care. Todd forever.
I would let Todd sleep on my couch.
Yes. Todd forever.
Let's put it that way. All right. Up next, we got some Beatles from, I feel like, an album that gets forgotten a lot of the time, Rubber Soul. This is Norwegian Wood. Enjoy.
To and I always find myself, like, when I wouldn't know what to play, I would always play Cherry Colored Funk, because that is also a classic from them. But the whole album is just amazing.
Cocteau Twins is another band that I would say we wouldn't have a lot of modern acts without, specifically if you listen to shoegaze. Cocteau Twins is the kind of beginning of that genre. I mean, not the actual beginning, but, you know, popular, I guess.
Yeah, they're awesome, and, like, I love how they have kind of, like, remained popular in the mainstream, like, within people who enjoy... I know so many people who listen to Cocteau Twins when a lot of artists have, like, kind of fallen off or haven't gotten the same recognition for... that style, but Cocteau Twins, there's something special about them.
Not every artist has Cherry Colored Funk, so...
True. Not every artist has this album.
That is true. That is true. All right, well, we're going to get into Foxes and Midsummer Fires. I think probably one of the highlights off this.
Yes.
It's great.
Let's do it.
Let's get into it.
Cool and wrong.
So I just got a text from my uncle saying that I'm apparently playing all of his favorite music. I didn't know my uncle was a Cocteau Twins fan.
Oh my gosh, shout out Harrison's uncle.
You learn something new every day.
I'm glad you are enjoying the show.
Yeah, I'm hoping everybody's enjoying the show.
Yeah.
Back on the topic of movies, you seen anything good recently?
Well, I did have to watch Melancholia for class, which I don't know if I'd say it was good. Like, it was crazy.
I came around on Melancholia.
As a film, it is a good film. But my emotional response to it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I love this film. It was amazing. It was like, whoa, mind blown. But I would say it was still pretty incredible.
I think the first time I saw it, I was like, this is a very well-made movie, but I don't really feel anything towards it. And yeah. Then I watched it again, like semi-recently, probably 6-7 months ago, and it got more of an emotional mm-hmm. response out of me.
Yeah, going into it completely blind with like no knowledge of the film, and I haven't really seen a lot of Lars von Trier's work. So.
Don't.
Yeah, there's really only a couple of his other films that I have any interest in seeing. I know he's a very controversial director, and a lot of people have very mixed opinions on him, but it was crazy. Like, the opening sequence of that film is, it's very visually intense.
Yeah, I hope Craig isn't listening, because he loves Lars von Trier. I am of the opinion that the best thing Lars von Trier has ever made is the opening to Antichrist.
He did that?
Yeah, he made Antichrist, which is like...
He did, okay.
I like it as a movie. I really like the opening.
I didn't realize that he was the one who directed Antichrist. Like, I feel like I am so bad about knowing what directors directed what, unless they have a very specific style. Like, obviously, I can look at a Wes Anderson film and know that's Wes Anderson, which, by the way, I very much enjoyed The French Dispatch.
French Dispatch was awesome.
I thought it was so good. I loved... obviously, like, he's a master of using color. I think that Wes Anderson's use of color is amazing. Not in the sense that, oh, he's using it in an artful way. It's just like, here's the color. I'm going to put it in your face. I'm not going to be shy about it. I'm going to mix colors. I'm going to go black and white. I'm going to have an artist scene, and then I'm going to have this scene and all these different things. I think that in general, he has very bright and visually interesting films.
That's what I loved about The French Dispatch, was the black and white, because it like forced him to not just be using pastels all the time, because it's pretty, but yeah. I would like to see you go outside.
Yeah, and I think the black and white worked super well in that film, and there were some really awesome, like, pretty long takes that he did, and a lot more story that I was intrigued with than a lot of his other films, like, not including Fantastic Mr. Fox and Isle of Dogs, which I think are both incredible films, and I think that his work in animation is some of his strongest.
Yeah, I think he needs to pivot almost fully to animation, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm of the minority in that opinion.
Yeah, because I think a lot of his live-action films, like, don't have as much of a narrative aspect, which is still fun, but it gets old kind of quick. Like, you get used to it.
Yeah, they bleed together in my mind, which mm-hmm. is like, I think is like the cardinal sin of an auteur. Like, your style is so recognizable that you could probably show like the average person on the side of the street and they'd be able to pick up on it, but I can't distinguish between some of his movies.
Mm-hmm. A like, lot of them are very similar.
I was rewatching I want to say, like, I can't even remember which one. I was rewatching one movie, and I thought that a scene was coming up, but turns out that scene was in The Life Aquatic, and I was completely off.
Yeah,
and
I always get mixed up, because he also brings the same actors in every time, so it's like, which Owen Wilson am I thinking about this time? Bill Murray is this?
Well, we're going to get back into the music, because, sadly, I don't have a two-hour-long show, as much as I wish I did. Uh-oh. This is... Shout out to Cheese. I don't give Cheese enough credit on this show. I wasn't really into Leonard Cohen before I started hanging out with Cheese, and then I heard this song, and I was like, wow, I need to start listening to more Leonard Cohen. This is The Partisan from 1969, I believe. It's an awesome song. Hope you guys enjoy.
When they poured across the border, I was cautioned to surrender. This I could not do. I took my gun and vanished. I have changed my name so often. I've lost my wife and children, but I've many friends, and some of them are with me. An old woman gave us shelter, kept us hidden in the garret. Then the soldiers came. She died without a whisper. There were three of us this morning. I'm the only one this evening, but I must go on. The frontiers are my prison. Oh, the wind is blowing. Through the graves the wind is blowing. Freedom soon will come. Then we'll come from shadow.
Les amants étaient chez moi. Ils me disent signe-toi, mais je n'ai pas peur. J'ai repris mon âme. J'ai changé 100 fois de nom. J'ai perdu femme et enfant, mais j'ai tant d'amis. J'ai la France entière. Un vieil homme dans un grenier, où la nuit nous a cachés, les Allemands l'ont pris. Il est mort sans surprise.
The graves the wind is blowing, freedom soon will come. Then we'll come from the shadow.
All right, so we got 2 more songs before we say goodbye. One more from Harper, from I think one of our collectively favorite artists, Sophie.
Yes, I love all of Sophie's work so much, and she was such a revolutionary artist, and I think that she is one of the greats and the founders of hyperpop, but also just production in general. She has some amazing solo work and then collabs. One of my favorites is Yeah Right.
I was gonna say right. Honestly, Yeah Right. Yeah, I wish I could play
so
it here.
Good. We wish we could play it. But yes, I totally recommend that song. And then a lot of songs she's done with other artists, I think she's just incredible. Yeah. And she's really a great artist.
All right, well, here's Is It Cold in the Water from Sophie. Enjoy.
I'm
All right, so I don't have much time, but I just wanted to thank Harper for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad that I was able to come be a guest.
I'm very happy to have you on. Also, happy Hanukkah to anybody listening who celebrates.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone.
Had a great time lighting the candles with my friends last night. But yeah. All right, so to close us out, I have a song from Daniel Johnson, True Love Will Find You in the End. Probably the only song that I love that I could say without a shadow of a doubt is horribly produced. But enjoy, everybody.
True love will find you in the end. You'll find out just who was your friend. Don't be sad, I know you will. But don't give up until true love will find you in the end. This is a promise with a catch. Only if you're looking can it find you. This true love is searching too. But how can it recognize you unless you step out into the light, the light? Don't be sad, I know you will. Don't give up until true love will find you in the end. 91.5 WMF.